Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome to episode 192 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. We are creeping up here on 200 very shortly. What an amazing journey it has been. I am so grateful that you are along for the ride. Here, I am looking to help improve your game by bringing on guests who have made top 8 of a Grand Prix, top 16 of a Pro Tour, and really dive into how they do what they do. You know, some of the guests are just one step ahead of us, making their first top 8. Others are Pro Tour regulars. And it's awesome to learn from the range of these players. And I'm really excited to dive into today's guest with you. But before we do, I do want to say that this episode is brought to you by the patrons and by the Deck Building Masterclass. Patrons are the best. Thank you so much for all your support. And I really look forward to each and every month where I get to do the patron exclusive giveaway and give back. I'm really excited about that. And if you're interested in becoming a patron and learning what that's all about, go to mtgprotutor.com/Patreon. And ever since I recorded the 4 hours of videos with AJ Soccer, Michael Majors, and Matt Severa, I've just been pumped about this Deck Building Masterclass. You can go get the free PDF download at deckbuildingmasterclass.com. Go check that out. Get the free PDF download if you haven't yet, and take your deck building skills to the next level. Deck building is a fundamental skill that every single Magic player needs to really get down pat, because every event you go to, whether it's Friday Night Magic, Game Day, a PPTQ, Grand Prix, you're going to have to do some kind of evaluating the meta and making some kind of decision as to what should be in your main board, what should be in your sideboard, even if it's just minor tweaks on existing decks, you know, the known quantities that are the best decks, you're still going to need to know how to make the changes that are necessary. So check that out, deckbuildingmasterclass.com. I love getting that PDF into the hands of as many players as possible so we can really spread that knowledge and help you become a better deck builder. So it seems like we are in a lull of big events right now, right? I mean, there was not a Grand Prix last weekend, and according to my records here, there's not a Grand Prix this weekend or the next weekend, but then the weekend after that, there's three, right? I think all those are the sealed Grand Prix that happened after the release of the new set. Is that right? So that's really exciting. That means that Amonkhet is upon us, right? This weekend is the pre-release. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I'm really, really pumped that we have a pre-release and then we have a release. And then we have the whole crazy time of just figuring out new decks, looking to the pros, coming up with their own stuff, brewing, and just having a blast. So definitely dive into the Deck Building Masterclass before the new set comes out so you can really get the whole deck thing figured out. But anyways, no big events does not mean no guests for the show. I'm still reaching out to the top 8 of all the Grand Prix that we had in the past month or so, and there's been a ton, bringing them on the show, so we still have great guests lined up for you in the next couple weeks, so stay tuned for that. That's really it for the top of the interview stuff. We have a great guest, like I mentioned, and I can't wait to dive into episode 192. What's up, everybody? I am super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest is a 7-time national champion and has appeared in 10 Worlds and World Magic Cup events. At the World Magic Cup, he's made top 8, top 16, and top 32. He took third at the 2015 MOX and has 3 Grand Prix top 8s, including a win at Grand Prix Madrid in 2015. Coming to us from Novi Sad, Serbia, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Alexa Telerov. Alexa, how you doing today?
What's up, guys? I'm doing great. Very happy to be here and talk to you guys, and hopefully you learn something, and yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
I am, definitely.
Excellent. Now, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Alexa, he is on social media. You can find him on Twitter, but he's not super active there, so the best place would be in Facebook, and we are going to work on getting him into the Facebook group. So if you are not a member of the Prodigy Facebook group, go ahead and, you know, look it up, request to join. mtgpro2.com/Facebook group is where you can find that, and he'll be in there, and that's the best way to ask him a question, say thanks for being on the show, and I'll just tag him in a post there, and he'll see it, because he's on Facebook way more than he is on Twitter. So Alexa, we love kind of learning about our guests outside of Magic before we dive into the Magic stuff. So are you born and raised in Serbia? Is that where you're from?
That's my home country, as well as my hometown is Novi Sad, and I've been living there since I was born.
So. All right, excellent. So is Magic all you do, or are you a student? Do you have a job? Like, what's going on other than that?
I am an administrative worker at the dental clinic. Yeah, dental clinic.
Excellent. Okay, cool. So you do that to, you know, make ends meet, and then obviously, you know, dedicate a portion of your free time to Magic. And that's really awesome. We love, you know, hearing about how life and Magic kind of commingle in people's, you know, in our guests' lives and whatnot. And so on that note, Can you tell us the story of the first time that you ever saw or played with Magic cards? So take us back in the day. We want to be right there with you, smelling the cards. Who introduced you to it? What was it like? What was you? You know, where were you? Tell us that story.
Okay, so in sixth grade, my friend came to my house and he brought these cards. So I was like, yeah, I have no idea what this is. So looks funny, had some like numbers on them and stuff. So I was like, yeah, let's see what this is, try it out, or maybe I like it. And it was Yu-Gi-Oh! Actually.
Oh!
So I played a bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! And I managed to like fulfill my expectations here in Serbia, at least, for that game. And then I just kind of grew up and moved to Magic. I think that's kind of how it goes when you start in Yu-Gi-Oh! And then you just move to Magic. And so the first time I saw Magic was when I went to the local hobby store to buy Yu-Gi-Oh! Actually. But I didn't like it because, like, all the players there were kind of, I don't know, they were much older, and I didn't know why they are not playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And they are playing Magic. Because to me, it just looked like pretty much the same. So I was kind of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Guy, and then I just naturally shifted to Magic because, I don't know, it just, I guess I grew up, as I said, I have no real explanation. There wasn't like a draw for me or something, but I remember it was Kamigawa back then, and the first cards I bought were Kokusho, the Evening Star, I think, some Birds of Paradise, and some Cabal Therapies, I think. And yeah, I just built my whatever deck, which actually like wasn't legal in any format except like Legacy or something. But yeah, I was like, yep, just gonna jam all these great cards in one deck and I'm gonna try to play. And yeah, and I remember because like the hobby store was kind of a local fun place, right, where you can play, and I played against some guy with my gibberish deck. And I play game one, he's playing Burn, and he, I think he, like, burns me out. And then game two, I draw Cabal Therapy, and I say Volcanic Hammer, because I saw it in the previous game, and I discard four copies of Volcanic Hammer from his hand.
Oh.
So that was like, okay. Yeah,
got him.
I definitely want to play this game more. So.
Now, that's awesome. So you came in, Kamigawa was your first set?
My first set was Guild Pact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. So at the Kamigawa, I think it was Ravnica when I bought the Kakushas and right. the stuff I told you about.
Right.
But Guild Pact was the first set like I played the pre-release.
So just a few curiosity things. What language were the Yu-Gi-Oh cards in that you saw in sixth grade? Were they in English or did they have them in Serbian?
I think they were German because German? The guy was also living in Germany. And they were also fake because Yu-Gi-Oh... Yu-Gi-Oh has like a lot of fake cards. But I didn't really particularly care about that like at the beginning. But when I went to the hobby store, I just quickly realized that. It's not what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, interesting. And then the Magic cards out there, what language are they in?
The Magic cards are English.
English, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat. And how many like hobby stores are out there? Are there a lot of card shops out there, or is it like what's the Magic scene like as far as paper Magic out there?
It's usually around four in my town.
Yeah, okay.
And surprisingly enough, in Belgrade, which is the capital, is less, which
interesting.
I don't know why, but just, yeah. And it's always been like that. And but I think people were a lot focused about how to improve Magic and enforced Magic in the stores and not the other games. So now that they are devoted to all different kinds of stuff, they are also like... doing better at Magic as well. So,
interesting. Okay, very cool. So there's enough. I mean, they fire a fair amount of events, you know, different formats throughout the week at the different stores.
I think there are some stores they like some formats more. Obviously, like some store plays Modern, and I don't know, some stores plays whatever commander or whatever. But most of the stores played standard and limited, right? So there aren't too many people on the events, but I think like they fire most of the time.
Yeah. So, okay. Wow. That's, I mean, that's cool. I love learning about, you know, the Magic scene in other places, especially places I've never been before, like most of Europe, including Serbia. So that's awesome. That's really cool. What has been your favorite set?
For drafting, constructed, overall, or
just overall? I don't know. When I say favorite set, what comes to mind? And if you have a specification, then you can tell us. That's fine.
That's tough because I actually don't have one off the top of my head, which means that I'm unsure. I guess like the beginning was interesting, like Ravnica, because then I started and the game was like all up in the air, and I was like super excited about everything, and I just keep learning more and more as I delve into it, and like regionals, nationals, stuff like that. And so I would say like Ravnica, and I would say I had a lot of success in Gatecrash Limited. It's like the new Ravnica.
Yeah.
So, and obviously like my first GP top 8 was Vienna 2014, I think. And it was, I know there were Minotaurs in the set, so it was Terros, maybe?
Yes.
Terros, yeah, Terros Block. And I played a lot of Magic in general then, and I realized that like the black-red aggro was great because you had a lot of 2-drops, 3-drops on common slot, and no one was taking them. Like, the cards weren't that great, like Flash Mad Steed, I think it's 2 mana, 2/2, black, and then when a creature dies, you tap it or something, I don't know. But it was pretty irrelevant because you were just attacking all the time, so yeah. I don't know, it was great for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
Oh, yeah, also a tough question. In recent history, it's Tireless Tracker.
Okay, cool. So for those of us who may not know, what is it, what does it do, and why do you like it?
So Tireless Tracker is 2 and 1 green, 3/2. I'm not sure of the creature type. Human.
Yeah, human something. Scout maybe, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, could be, yeah. And it has landfall, I think, ability. So you, whenever a land enters the to the battlefield, you get a clue. And when you sacrifice a clue, you get to draw a card, obviously, and you put a +1/+1 counter on Tireless Tracker. So it's kind of a built-in engine by itself, pretty much, because like you play lands in your deck anyway, and you always want to continue playing your land drops. So he grows, and he can just finish the game by himself. So yeah, that's why I like it. He's very efficient.
Good stuff. Yeah, he is. He's awesome. Really, really good stuff. So when you started getting serious about Magic and kind of getting better, what was an aspect that you struggled with or like an early challenge that you faced but that you eventually overcame?
Okay, so I started playing all the tournaments I could, in a sense where I'm a very competitive person, so I just strive to move myself to the bigger level as often as I can. So first off, there was drafting. That's the first thing I started doing, and I sucked at it. And I didn't win my first draft until a year has passed, I think. But yeah, I just continued playing, and I guess I figured out how to win. And I actually top-8ed my first Nationals, and it was kind of my favorite event there. And I didn't make top 4, and top 4 were the people who were going to the Worlds. So that just made me wanted to play more, and I just, I'm really tireless, as you can say. So I just strive to better myself and to be the best in the area, at least where I can. So that's kind of my first challenge, was just doing better, qualifying for Worlds and stuff like that. But at that point, I didn't even know there were GPs or Pro Tours. I didn't even know what that was. And just as time went on, because the scene is not so proficient here, people just started telling me about that and stuff. And then I just went to my first GP. I think I day 2, which at that point I thought oh, it's not a big deal, like this was easy or something. But I didn't just realize I was playing like too much Magic, and I like knew how to play, and then I knew like a bunch of interactions and blah, blah, blah. Like later on, I just realized that it's not easy to make day two of an event. So I definitely got my share of six frees when it was X2.
Oh,
Or day two. Yeah. I actually think I chained like six of them and at one season, and that was not a pleasant experience for me at all.
We might dive into that in a bit here, but yeah, that would, six threes in a row when you needed X2. That's crazy. So that first challenge that you really identified was, you really struggled with drafting when you started out, and you didn't win your first draft for a year. What were some of the things that you did to improve at draft? Like, obviously you were drafting a lot, but were you getting guidance? Where were you looking? Like, how were you actually kind of improving your draft skills over that year?
Okay, so the draft environment was kind of hostile in a sense where no one actually helped you improve, and people just wanted to win, which is great because I want to win as well. So I definitely wanted to beat them more then. And the things I do, I like to do them by kind of my own terms. I always like to play like decks that are out of the box and try strategies that are not like the number one or tier strategies. But back then, since I didn't know much about the game, I kind of studied what other people do. So I just started drafting what they were doing. But the problem with that was that then if they are doing something and next week I'm doing that, then they're already moved on to doing something else that's better. So I'm just always like behind. And then I think I figured out like to do it myself, to make myself improve, like to figure out stuff by my own. And that's the point where I excelled at drafting and Magic as well.
Excellent. Yeah, I love going through that and hearing, you know, people's process and how they improved. And because then we can do the same thing. We can say, okay, I'm in a similar situation. You know, what can I do and how can I learn from Alexa and move on? So that's awesome. Alexa, what would you say were some of your Magic breakthroughs? You might have mentioned some already with some of the events that you've done well at, but when did you really start feeling, hey, like, I'm pretty good at this? So your Magic breakthroughs.
Yeah, I think that's a common trap where you say I'm pretty good and then you get punished. But
yeah, okay. And that's a good perspective. I'm glad that you brought that up because you want to recognize your talent, but you also don't want to be cocky, and because then you will definitely be humbled. So yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Just don't be cocky ever would be my suggestion. I mean, just try to like keep it down low. I mean, you can feel happy and celebrate. I think you can compensate by that. So
yeah, okay. Okay.
So the first thing, it was actually the previous mentioned GP Vienna, where I made top 8. And I think it kind of surprised a lot of people where I was just like not really known as a Magic player there. And I think that tournament and GP Madrid were my like best played Magic. And that's where I'm like, okay, I top 8 at a GP, and then I was the first Serbian to actually do it. I don't think any, yeah, and I'm the only Serb basically that top 8 at GPs. So
wow,
yeah, so which is nice, I guess. I mean, people played this game before, so it's not like there's no one playing it. So also like there's kind of a friendly rivalry with the neighboring countries. So that's also like something to keep in mind, right? Like
which countries? GP,
I guess Croatia.
Okay,
would be the one. I guess. I mean, there's also like Hungary and who else plays Magic? Slovenia, some people from Romania, but generally like Croatia. We are like kind of close and kind of have history. So that was I was definitely proud that like I'm one of the guys in the region to top 8 the GP, which. Yeah, which wasn't done too often before, so I figured it wasn't that easy. And from that point, I think that was my like boosting into the scene. And I think it was that year where I triple queued for the PT. So I qualified via that Grand Prix, GP Vienna, then I qualified by winning the mocks with my own deck and by World Magic Cup top 8.
Nice.
So yeah, so I was like super happy, and then I got what were we talking about before? I got cocky. So yeah, I remember playing GP Milan, and there was some screw up with the Grand Prix, like how it was played out. And in the end, I think there was like, even if you go 7-0, you're automatically qualified for day two, and you just don't play like rounds 8 or 9, which is like super weird.
That is very weird.
And then round 7, I was 6-0, I played against Mete Zadelkai in the Delvermere, and he beat me soundly, and I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, I just need to like win two more. But then later to find out that on day two, all the people who were 7-0 day one were given invite to the next PT. So yeah, that was weird, because on day two you had 7 rounds instead of 6, and I don't know, it was just a weird tournament. And on day two I went 5-0, so I have 2 rounds remaining, and I need to win one of them to make top 8. Maybe even draw, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I didn't think about it further, but I think we needed to play it out. So I played against Louis Deltour, and he was playing this Jeskai Ascendancy deck. And I didn't really know what it was, so I was kind of caught off guard, and he beat me game 1. Game 2 I beat him, but then he beat me game 3, and then I played against Eduardo Sajgilic, and I also lost against him, and I was 14th in the end. And I remember telling Eduardo, like, he was super stoked to make top 8 because it qualified him for the next PT, and he said to me, like, oh man, like, sorry for not making it. And I was like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, I'll make it. I'm like triple queued for the next PT, blah, blah, like cocky, you know, to the heavens. And then I didn't qualify for the PT after. So I think that was a good slap in the face. And yeah, I just think that kind of a life lesson, and a good one to, like, you can definitely screw up in worse things than just magic. So
yeah.
Yeah, it definitely gave me a good lesson. So,
man, and that's awesome. And it's awesome that you learned the lesson. Well, I'm saying not awesome that you lost, obviously. But I think it's cool because you're actually touching on a lot of things that we love to, you know, dive into. Like, things that you learn from Magic that you can apply other places. And you just kind of went through that. You know, you learned. And so there's nothing wrong with being confident, you know? Like, so you need to be confident in your abilities. But when we say, or at least when I hear don't get cocky, what I'm thinking is, you know, you never should think that you deserve, you know, the win, right? You should always, like, respect your opponent in that you never know. Like, you could be like, if you sit down and be like, oh, I'm so much better than this person, I should easily crush them, you will oftentimes be surprised that they know more than you or something, and you're just not playing to your best because you think that you have it in the bag, right? And so when we say don't get cocky, that's what we mean, is respect your opponent, like, think every game, every playthrough, like, play every match one at a time. Don't be thinking about the next match, the one before, and all that stuff. And because when you let those things slip away from you, you know, you make mistakes, and those mistakes end up costing you the top 8, a pro tour qualification, or whatever, you know, whatever level you're at. Maybe it costs you the day 2 of a Grand Prix, because that's the level that you're at, you know. So that's what we mean when we say don't get cocky, and just, you know, you can still be happy and glad, of course, like, you're playing to win and you want to get those accomplishments, and yeah, you know, revel in your victories, but don't think that because you've had a good run or good successes that you should expect or deserve the next one. And so that's kind of that. And so I love that. I love that life lesson, because you can do that anywhere, you know, just because you're doing well, whatever, in your job or in a relationship or whatever, doesn't mean that you can get complacent and be like, oh, my relationship is always going to go well. Well, no, if you don't, like, put the effort into it, then it's not going to go well. It's going to fall apart, you know? And so that's kind of a life lesson that you can pull out of Magic that you can put anywhere. So thank you for sharing that.
I think
that.
You should be confident in Magic as in life, but just respect people, like, even on the, like, battlefield, so to say, just respect people. And I don't I think like disrespecting people in a sense where you're not giving them enough credit is definitely going to come back to bite you. So just be confident and respectful and yeah.
And you actually mentioned two past guests of the show. So you mentioned that you played against Louis Del Tor. He was episode 97 of the podcast. And then you also mentioned, Eduardo. He's actually one of my favorites. He's a great guy. He was actually episode 87 of the podcast, which is kind of fun. And this episode should be right around like 192 is what your episode is going to be. So they were on back about a year ago. So that's kind of fun that I always love hearing, you know, the connections that, you know, people have. Like they either play test with somebody or played against somebody in a GP or a big event or whatever. And I'm like, oh, hey, like they're past guests of the show. So that's pretty cool. So, and you might've touched on this a little bit, but one thing that we really do want to dive into and really help people understand is the ups and downs of Magic, right? We all have ups and downs. Those highs and lows are unique to each player. And so maybe you've already shared it or maybe you want to share a different one, but what is one of your worst Magic moments and then what you learned from that experience?
Let's see. Obviously, like losing big on the top is bad, but I don't think that it's necessarily bad if you just gave it all. So I think that's fine. But I would say that the slap in the face after GP Milan was one of the. I don't even want to say worse because like I don't view it that way. I just view it as a diversion, in a sense where I just have to focus more and work harder and not be cocky. But I definitely felt the worst when I had the chain of X freeze, which I told you about.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it was six tournaments, but definitely five. And it was mostly like I was going 6-1 at the Grand Prix and then just went 6-3. And at that point, I was really wanted to like be professional at Magic, like at least even if I have a job or whatever. But I felt like I was good enough that I can make it my life for a while at least. And I was definitely crushed. And I'm not the guy who quits often. And I really want to push myself to the limit, but I was like contemplating quitting, or I was actually contemplating what to do. Like, I don't want to quit, but I can't like solve why am I not day doing. And I hate that term variance, and I know it exists.
Yes.
Like, I realize that, but I just don't want, like, I want to eliminate as much as of it and luck as possible. And I wasn't testing too much for GP Madrid, which I won in the end. Oddly enough, but I was like, yep, if I don't do well here, I have to consider what I'm doing with my life in Magic. So I went there, and round one, I lose. My deck wasn't great. It was, I think, built correctly in a sense where I had a good curve in creatures, but no real bombs. I had a hangar back walker that I remember. It was some core set, I think. And so I lose round one. So I'm like, yep, here it goes again. Like, gonna go 6-1 or whatever, 6-2, and then lose the last run and not make it. So I was like doubting myself at this point because it's happened so many times and it's hard to keep perspective and focus when especially when you lose in the early rounds, because honestly the opponents are a bit worse when you face them at like 3-0 or 6-0 or 9 or 8-0, you know. So you really want to get a good start because you can manage to give a win to someone that's good and it's like a tight game, and you know. So I'm like, oh God, like I lost this round. What am I going to do now? And then round four, I always pile shuffle my opponent's deck as well as mine on five piles, because I believe that some people are just, I think the term is unjust. So I also want to like play a fair game. So I count this guy's deck and he has 39 cards. And I'm like, yeah, sure, maybe I'm mistaken that I got it again, 39. So I'm like, you have 39 cards. Is it okay if I call a judge? And he's like, yeah. So I call a judge, and the judge is speaking to him for like 5 minutes or something. And he decides to give him a game loss because of a missing card in deck, because you should have 40 in your limited deck and not 39.
Presenting an illegal deck or whatever it's called.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So he appeals. The head judge comes. He talks to him for like 10 minutes. I'm just not doing anything. But my friend is sitting next to me and playing the game. So I guess I was like doing something. And the head judge comes and says, you win the match. Your opponent has been disqualified.
Whoa.
And I'm like, okay. So what's the reason? And the reason is that my opponent told one story to the floor judge, which came, and another story to the head judge.
Okay.
So that's definitely not something you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely don't want to cheat at any point or level, but that was not a smart move. So I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll take this win where where I can, right?
So, right, yeah.
So I'm like 3-1, and I just continue winning from this point. I don't know what it gave me, a boost or whatever. I don't know. I mean, not the boost that like guy got DQ'd or something, but like that I actually won a match regardless. And then I'm 6-1. Like that's the that's the pivotal stage, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, here we are, 6-1. Let's do this.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I got this. So I win game one, and the guy wins game two, and obviously doubt starts going into my mind and the pressure and whatever. And the guy mulligans to 5.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, I got this. So that was like the disrespect moment, right? I got this.
Okay, yeah.
And so I was curving out. He was as well, but I was putting more pressure. But I managed to draw more lands than I wanted, and he was curving well with his lands and spells. So I was like, at some point, is this like really slipping away from me? Like, is this actually possible that I'm gonna lose this game? Like, and I'm not even thinking like he mulliganed to 5 or something. Is it that just I felt like I had complete control? And then he like off the top of his deck drew a couple of cards in a row, which helped him develop his gameplay. And I was just drawing lands, and I was obviously getting frustrated. And at some point he draws a flyer and has one more. And I was just like, is this really happening? Like, I drew like 5 lands in a row. This guy drew like, I'm not going to say the nuts, but he like drew the cards he needed. And
he drew spells.
yeah, not exactly. Lands.
And, yeah.
And I'm actually going to lose this game. And that's what I'm thinking. And I'm like, I put my cards down. I put my hands over my face. And I'm like, just frustrated in anguish. And I'm like, not the 6-2, 6-3 again. Like, please. And I'm like looking at the battlefield with my hands on my head, and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm thinking, and I draw a card and it's a land, and I'm like, okay, so I need to bluff or do something. I really want to win this game, and I'm obviously still frustrated, and I get my hands on my head again, and I'm like, I'm gonna just be here for a minute. I don't care. I just want to figure out how I lost or whatever. And I'm looking at my battlefield, and I notice that there's Goblin Glory Chaser, I think. It's a 1-mana, 1/1 red, and I think he has some effects where if, like, Bloodthirst, something similar, and he also, like, can be blocked or something. I don't know. Like, can be blocked by 2 creatures, and he has a counter on it, because, like, in previous turns, I bumped it up to 2/2.
Yeah, he has Renown, so when he does combat damage, he gets a +1/+1 counter, and as long as he is Renowned, he has Menace, so he has to be blocked by 2 creatures.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, perfect. And I'm like, I'm looking at the board, and I'm like, holy, you know what? I actually can pull out of this game. So I just had like the board. I had the tools on the board to try to finish the game in two turns. But I was just so frustrated that he was like drawing the cards he needed and I was drawing lands that I wasn't keeping my focus on the game. And like I made an attack with like all of my creatures, I think, and the Goblin Glory Chaser has to be blocked by two cards, right? So then I can like kill one of his flyers with it because he has to block it. And then I can like, if he doesn't draw anything, I can win the game. But I think that was that moment is where I realized like I could go big in that event, right? Because like I succumbed myself to like emotion and stuff, but then I like went through it and like pulled myself out of that negative thinking about the game, you know. And that was one of the like the moments where I went then to 7-1 and 8-1 and then managed to like sweep the tournament.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my goodness. Wow. That's incredible. So I really like your point of you let yourself get diverted, land after land after land, and your mindset kept going, you know, south, 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 south. And so you lost perspective of the game, you said, and you realized, oh, look, right here on the board, you know, I have what I need. I don't need to draw something else. I just need to use what I have. And so that's really, that's a really powerful experience, I think. And a good lesson that we can learn is, you know, always make sure that you're keeping tabs on what's on the board and what you have, the tools that you have. And sometimes there's like, you know, that little line of text down at the bottom that doesn't matter, you know, every other game, but in this one game it does. And so you have to make sure that you are familiar with it.
Yeah, you definitely said it perfectly because the Goblin had that line of text it couldn't be blocked by two, one. So it had to be blocked by two or more. So yeah, that was definitely the line where I could have lost and then be bitter. Like, who knows what would happen? Or yeah, I actually felt lucky at that point that I saw that. So I don't know how to say it, but I just felt lucky that. I don't know.
Because you were in despair and you're just looking and just scanning the board and, you know, how did I get here? You know, how did I lose? How did I let this slip? And then you're like, oh, wait, what's that right there? Okay. Yeah, well, that changes everything. So that's cool. That's really cool. Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. So one thing I do want to say, I think it's so interesting. So you went through this streak of, you know, 6-3s and whatnot, and you to the point where you're kind of questioning, what am I doing with my Magic life, you know? And this tournament, again, I want to bring this up because we've had other guests that say similar things. It's not that you don't care, because you wouldn't go if you didn't care, but it's so interesting how several other guests have said it's sometimes when they go to an event with less, I don't know, expectation is the right word, but less pressure on themselves. You know, they don't go saying, I am going to absolutely crush it. They just go to, you know, play Magic and do their best and just, you know, they approach it with this different mindset that they end up doing well, you know? And so, I think it's kind of interesting that you had you mentioned that you didn't prepare as much for this event as other ones, which I think is kind of funny. Now, as you're going through this string of losses, what were some of the things that kept you going? You know, because it's going to happen to everybody. Like, we have, you know, wins and losses, and you're going to have hard points in your Magic journey. What were some of the things that helped you stick with it? Obviously, you got to a point where you're like, I got a question if I got to keep going. But, you know, as you're going through it, what did keep you going?
Well, as I said before, I'm very competitive. And I really, really, really want to win. And I obviously don't like losing. But as I grow older, I manage to keep my emotions for losing in check somewhat. As before, I was just like raging like a small child.
Got it.
But to be fair, I was younger. So
Yeah, okay.
So what kept me going was that I knew I had it into me to do better. And I just needed to go that extra like mile. And like at that point, I knew that even like X2-ing is not a big deal because I already like top 8-ed before or whatever. But I just at that point, that was my challenge. Okay, now I'm like down to earth more. You're like in the dirt over there. You're not in the clouds. So let's just pick yourself up and first like do the day 2 thing, you know, and not like top 8. Like the thing, what was what I was doing when I went to the GPs. I'm like, yeah, like, just want a top eight, you know. There's no like, okay, I want a day two. I want to focus on day two, like do a draft if it's limited, or keep my focus if it's constructed. Like, I know the decks people are playing or whatever, you know, stuff like that. So I think I was just like overzealous, over like proud or confident or whatever. And I just didn't go step by step. And you never should think like that far ahead, and you should never say to yourself like, I'm gonna win or I'm gonna top eight, or because that's just, in my opinion, just never works. Like, you're just gonna get there eventually, and you're gonna get rewarded by outlasting everyone mentally and physically, actually. So like, you just need to keep focus and perspective. I think those are two like most important things, and respect your opponent.
I totally agree. I think so. Again, you want to win, you know, you're there at the event and you're being competitive for that. But when it comes to goal setting, you have to set goals that you have control over, right? So you can't, like, for example, I'm going to make top eight, is like maybe not the best goal, because you have no control over your opponents or their draws or whatever. What you can control is, all right, I'm going to make sure that my mulligan decisions are the best they possibly can be. I'm going to show up prepared, you know, mentally, physically. I'm going to have the right sleep, the right snacks, all that stuff. I'm going to control what I can control, so that I have the best chance to make, you know, top eight. And if you focus on those things as your goal and take those steps, like you said, you know, the first step, make day two, then it's make top eight. And so instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to make top eight, I think if you focus on the things that you can't control, those are better goals, because they're actually obtainable and you can control them. Because then if you set a goal that you have absolutely, you know, no control over, then you just set yourself up for disappointment and failure, I feel. So
absolutely. You're 100% correct. You just don't want to aim super high, because then you're just going to sink super low. So
good point. Yeah. Yeah. So what has been your proudest Magic moment?
My proudest Magic moment? Well, I would say making gold, but it's not actually. I was very like happy, but my proudest Magic moment was when I won GP Madrid, because I knew I wasn't prepared enough. And I knew I had to, obviously, a tough field to go through. And I know I outplayed some people for sure, which was not easy, because some of the people were pretty good players. And I knew I won with, I would say, above average draft deck in the top eight, for sure. But I kind of won with, I kind of won with just exhausting all my resources that I had at my disposal, including the sideboard. So I was really proud, and I didn't think, like, I would never like say I played this tournament the best of all the people, but I would say for myself I played this tournament the best that I played like any tournament, you know. Like, it's, you should never say like I'm the best or something. Like, you should just say maybe I play this tournament the best, and then carry on, you know, like in the sense where you're happy about your game. But yeah, there can always be better players that do worse than you, but it's just variance, right? And luck and whatever. So just try to stay humble in that sense and realistic, and try to improve yourself, because no one's going to do it for you. So
yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that theme that we've touched on this episode so far. So in your vast experience of playing Magic, what is the biggest mistake that you see players make? And then how can we avoid that mistake?
Well, depends on what you want to do in Magic. Like, depends on what level you are. And that's really important, because like, that requires like a lot of your time if you're trying to be professional, and you don't need like a lot of time if you're just playing like eight mans every week on Modern, and you just have your own Affinity, Burn, or whatever deck, and you're just always going to come with it, and you're just going to have fun regardless, right? But for people that are like trying to be more competitive, I would say like, people just lack focus, in a sense where it's not even their fault. It's just Magic is like such a demanding game, and people don't realize that. Like, when I play like Magic Online, and I try to just, when I play, I try to just play. And there's no Facebook, phone, or girlfriend, or boyfriend, or whoever, you know? Just, like, don't, like if you want to do well, and you want to win, and like, play to your maximum, just focus on the game. Because I think it's really, like, a really hard game to play at, like, any level, any potential. And just, like, it depends on what you want to do, right? That's why it's kind of... But the focus part is the most important thing. Even if you, like, underestimate your opponent, or your opponent mulligans to four, or he's stuck on lands, or you have it all, or whatever, you should just still remain focused and finish the game, and then you can feel happy about how he mulliganed to four, if you want, you know? But, like, just finish off the game and stay focused, and that's the most important thing. I guess, like, you need to take care of yourself as well, like, nutrition-wise, and, you know, like, drink a lot of water and stuff like that. So that's also important, and just distribute it throughout the day and stuff.
Cool. What's your best format?
I would say right now it's standard, because I was not doing well in standard, and I was doing well in limited. And then I moved to standard. Like, I really want to do well in standard. And then I made a top 8 in standard. And I'm like, okay, so now I kind of finished my goal in making a limited and a standard top 8. But then my limited took a hit. So now I really want to improve my limited skills again. And I feel like I know what I'm supposed to do in constructed when a new format comes. So I really want to try to have a grasp on both formats if possible, which I know is hard, because, like, pretty much, like, I see limited and constructed like two different games, like, in a game, right? Because, like, it's not easy to be good at both things, because they're very different, and you need, like, whenever you, like, transition from one to another, it's definitely a different ball game. So
yeah, so true. Yeah, that's a really good point. It's exactly true, but I guess I've never, like, thought, oh, these are two different games. I mean, I always thought, oh, the different formats in the same game, but I mean, the rules are the same and the pieces are the same, but they're completely different, because one constructed, you come with a pre-built deck. Limited, you build one from the stuff that's there. And so that's a good point. Very good point. I love that. So, man, we have covered a lot of ground, and we have learned a lot. We've got some, tournament day tips from you. You mentioned taking care of yourself, nutrition and water and sleep and all that good stuff. Obviously, so that was some good stuff there. What are some of the resources that you turn to when you're keeping up with what's going on and keeping your finger on the pulse of Magic? Where do you go? What resources can you recommend?
I don't know if it's odd or not, but I'm kind of stubborn, and I actually don't read any articles or watch videos or anything.
Right. Okay.
And because I know in myself that I can do it, like, on my own, so I just try to ignore everything, pretty much. But I do, like, go to, I think it's MTG Goldfish, when I'm, like, playing Magic Online, like, leagues. I just want to see what decks percentage-wise are, like, the most played, popular, and stuff like that. Other than that, I don't really have, like, great advice to give you about that, but I think it's fine, like, going to sites like Star City Games Channel Fireball, because I really honestly believe that the people that write down the articles, like, let's say Brad Nelson, he's a friend of mine, like, writes down an article about, like, a green-black deck, or four colors, a Healy or something. And he's definitely not going to do the thing where he, like, posts a list that's, like, 1 week old or something. He is going to do the thing. He's going to post the thing that he's doing it at the moment. Like, I'm doing this. I'm going to write about why and how you should, go with this deck and stuff like that. And he really gets you in the moment, right? Like, if it's, like, 17th of March today and he writes something, then you know you're, like, on top if you read his article and if you want to play that deck and, like, stuff like that. I think it's definitely beneficial, but I just try to, like, do it on my own. So I don't know if that's, like, I don't know. I don't know if I could improve if I, like, read a bunch of stuff, but I feel like that would take more time for me than just actually playing and figuring out stuff on my own.
Yeah.
So,
good point.
Yeah, I just want to figure it out on my own. That's like where I get my, you know, boost on Magic.
Very cool. So, Alexa, where are you going to be in the future? Do you have any events lined up?
Yes. I actually didn't do as well as I wanted in the previous GPs. So normally I would do all the European ones, but at this point I kind of have to consider what I'm doing. And I even wanted to go to the US to the team GPs and the Mexico, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be there. But for sure, you can check me out at GP Bologna, which is in May. After that weekend, there's a PT. So I'm going to that PT. There's PT Nashville. And then at the end of the month, there's like GP Copenhagen, which is modern. So it's going to be exciting, I guess. And mostly doing all the European GPs. And I might come to the US just off that schedule, but I'm never sure.
So. Yeah, okay. We like cheering on past guests, so that's good that you have some stuff coming up and we can, you know, see how you do and wish you the best of luck in, you know, your upcoming events. That'd be absolutely awesome.
Right. Hopefully I can, like, meet some of the listeners.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. And on that note, Prodigies, if you want to connect with Alexa, you can do so online. The best place to do that is on Facebook. We're going to invite him into the Facebook group, so you can request an invite as well. We'll get you in there. You can say thanks for being on the show, ask him questions, and follow up with him there in the Facebook group. So mtgprotudo.com/Facebook group is where you can do that. So, Alexa, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new that you want to leave with us here at the end.
For life or for magic? Let's say, just try to focus on things that are important in life, and then everything else will come on its own, like family, friends, and just being an all-around quality human being. Like, and I think what goes around comes around, obviously, so just try to be a good person. It's not hard, and it's definitely rewarding, so. I would say that.
Well, Alexa, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us today. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We really appreciate it. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mad or screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the chat.
Alexa, thank you again for coming onto the show and sharing your knowledge with us. Prodigies, you know where to go. mtgprotudo.com/Alexa Telerov, his name, is where you can find the show notes, which will give you a synopsis of everything that we talked about, as well as links to any resources that were mentioned. So feel free to check that out if you are so inclined. I loved having Alexa on the show. I love these great guests, these awesome conversations, these tips and tricks that we get out to you to help you improve. Love it. Absolutely love it. As I mentioned before, we're kind of in a lull of GPs right now as we wait for the new set to come out. And then, boom, we'll have 3 Grand Prix in 1 weekend here in 2 or 3 weekends. So that's going to be awesome. We have some great guests lined up between now and then and beyond, of course. Episode 200 is coming up, so stay tuned for that. Definitely looking forward to do something special. Not quite sure, haven't locked in a guest yet for that, trying to get, you know, somebody cool, I guess, but I definitely want to do something special for you, for the Prodigies. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to celebrate the 200 episode milestone with you. Until then, go check out deckbuildingmasterclass.com, where you can get the free PDF download of the best deck builders I know of, AJ Soccer, Michael Majors, and Matt Severa, who really go into their process of evaluating the meta and really diving into how they build decks and how they tweak existing strategies so they can attack the meta and really take home the trophy. These are tournament-winning strategies that you can employ so you can take down your FNM, you can win that sick playmat at game day, or you can make day 2 or even top 8 of Grand Prix yourself. These are the tools, these are the strategies, this is the process that these amazing, awesome deck builders go through. So check that out, deckbuildingmasterclass.com. And before we close out, a huge thank you. This is my digital, virtual, audio hug, I guess, to the patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Absolutely love you. Absolutely appreciate your support. Definitely look forward to doing some more fun things with and for you in the future. If you want to become a patron, go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon to check that out. Learn more about what that is and how it works. Thank you so much, patrons. You are the best. Well, until next time, this is Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery, be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.